Amen.
Amen. Boy, oh boy. Well, as you know, we're in a series called The Church in Action. Last week, we focused on one of two offices in the Presbyterian Church. The first office is the office of elders. And one of the things that I didn't say last week is that we get the name for our denomination from that word in Greek. Presbyterian is a portion of presbyteros in Greek, which means ruler or an elder-led church. And so we as Presbyterians are elder-led. And a second thing that I neglected to say is that an elder is not a priest. Now, I am considered a teaching elder, as is Phil, in our denomination. And ruling elders are elected from the congregation. We have slightly different functions, but we serve as elders. And a teaching elder is not, though, a priest. And the reason that is because in 1 Peter 2, that many of you know of, we are all, as Christ followers, called a royal priesthood. You are a priest. I am a priest. That is, we serve the living God. And so as not priests, but under-shepherds, each one of us serve the great shepherd, the great high priest, Jesus Christ. So, as we discussed last week, the first office is the office of elders. The second, which we're going to talk about today, is the qualifications in the New Testament for the office of diakonios, or as we anglicize it, deacon. And I used to give this little primer guide to our deacons as they came on. They decided that it wasn't necessary for me to continue to purchase them for them. They were able to pass these around, but I was caught at the acknowledgement. Someone who wrote this said that in many ways the deacons are the first in the church. And then they go on to express it's the first ordained office that many church members assume. That was true for me. When I was a 19-year-old, I became an deacon at Hollywood Presbyterian Church. It was the first official office that I held in the church. It's also the first major commitment people make to the wider church. That's interesting because I learned a lot. It opened my eyes from being a member to being a leader. And then it said the first experience they may have in the caring work of the congregation. And certainly I saw the depth as I served and felt overwhelmed at times by the people that I would have to contact and know. And I see that in our deacons. They're so good at it. You know, there's a story that a police officer once told. The story goes like this. He was taking a beat in a downtown kind of slum area, known for high crime and known for a place where people abused the very place they lived. Broken glass was everywhere. People were not taking care of anything. But he noticed that there was an older woman who had an apron on. And as he walked his beat, he began to be suspicious because every once in a while she would bend down. She'd pick up something and put it in her apron. And then she'd roll up her apron and hold it. And then she'd walk on and she did the same thing. And he wondered if she was stealing something because that was so common in that area. So he approached her and he said, "Let me see what you've got in the apron." And she unrolled it and it was broken glass. And she said, "I just thought I would take it out of the way of the children's feet." You see, this woman embodied what it is to be a deacon. So as we look at this, let's look at the qualifications in the New Testament as we discover how the deacons came to be. If you've ever served as a deacon, you know it quite well. It's Acts chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, during those days when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists, pay attention to that word, complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12 called together the whole community of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Therefore, friends, select among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and serving the word." What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, and the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. The word of God continued to spread. The number of disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. May God bless the reading of his word, we pray with me. Lord, as we look at this office of the diaconia, the deacon, please not only open our hearts in appreciation for what these men and women in our congregation do, but let us aspire to be like them, to become a church of deacons, to care for one another and love one another with that kind of diligence. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, this passage says there needed to be a division of labor. Elders' time needed to be taken teaching the people the word of God, helping guide and administrate the church. Those are the two functions of elders. But the deacons were needed just as important, because this church, as it emerged, was bringing in lots of people, and these people were of all different positions of status in life. And they needed to have an organized way of distributing the goods among them, of caring for the people. And so they were commended by the congregation, these people. The apostles said, "Pick out from yourselves." That is, the people were asked to do it. And secondly, character was important. It says men, and today women serve equally as men, and I am so grateful for that. Pam Jenner is the moderator of deacons. She gives tireless time, as do each one of our deacons, to the care of their individual parishioners. Each of us, as members of the church, have a deacon that's responsible for us. Kevin Johnson is my deacon, and I hear from him regularly. You probably get a newsletter from your deacon, or a note, or a call. But the deacons are gathering as people that are full of the Spirit of wisdom. They're chosen because of their faith in God. It's not a simple task, but it's a task that's given to a specific group of people. Because it's notable that these were Hellenists. They were Greek-speaking men. We know that by their names. And yet, we heard earlier that the Greek-speaking Jews who had converted to Christ were getting slighted, because the local people, probably Aramaic-speaking Jewish believers, were managing all the attention. And so The apostles appointed Hellenists, Greek men, to take care of the whole congregation. They'd keep their eyes open and on the prize. You see, the word diakonia means, in this passage, to distribute. Diakion means to serve. Kinos is the Greek name for a deacon, and it means to a servant or to serve someone. You see, a deacon is someone who cares. The division of labor was between elders teaching and leading and decision making, and deacons ministering, serving, and caring for the body. And so we see both Paul and Peter raising up younger leaders in Timothy and Apollos and others to follow after them. They are not apostles today, though some claim to be. We as Protestants believe that the word apostle were those who followed Christ as he was here among us, as he evoked his earthly ministry. And that only very rarely, like the Apostle Paul, was someone given a special revelation, like the Apostle Paul, who never knew Christ to our knowledge in person, but had an encounter with him on the road to Damascus. You see, elders were teaching. And even Peter, who called himself an apostle, also called himself an elder in the church. You see, they were teachers with an office. But elders are not apostles. And the distinction needs to be held different. Where an apostle is an elder is not an apostle necessarily. With the exception of Paul, he didn't fit the qualification. So, elders are teachers, and deacons take care of the needs of the congregation. That's because there are always problems that arise in a church. All kinds of people have all kinds of calamities in their life. Hospital trips, elderly, reasons that they need special attention from the congregation. But they also have a sense of community that's evoked by that engagement. And so our deacons take the lead in teaching us how to do that with one another. So we emulate the deacons when we care about one another. You see, being a deacon is something that's honorable. It is good that we understand that the deacons, although they're only talked about in the two passages, the one I read today, and in 1 Timothy 3, where it talks about both deacons and elders, and it talks about them both being people of high honor, of above reproach. And yet, this deacon, this servant word, given to the word serving, is important. In fact, we hear that Jesus deaconed. When he was fasting in the wilderness, the angels came and deaconed to him. He deaconed when he came among the people healing and feeding. See, it would be important that the term deacon or the verb deaconing be both a duty and an office in the church. Because in a way, all of us are called to be little d deacons. And eventually, maybe we're called to serve the church in the office capacity with a big D deacons. To serve one another with our gifts is the calling of all believers. But the only thing that we need to remember is that there is a type of leadership which is special, and that is those who are elected to the deacon board. They call themselves deacons with a big D. And we know that very well. Someone has said that deacons are the hands of the church body. It's because they care for one another, hands that are loving, do the work of Christ. They are seeking to emulate Christ. Because Christ himself said in Matthew 20, "Whoever would be great among you should be my servant. The Son of Man came to be not to be served, but to serve." Jesus valued deacons. They were important to him. So someone said that deacons are given certain tasks that are important. And someone in the Presbyterian Church wrote in this manual I showed you that there are specific needs they need to pay attention to. The first rule is it should be a member of the congregation, any member of the congregation. And every member of the congregation here is assigned a deacon. But then there are special categories. Deacons need to pay attention to the elderly, for they have unique concerns. A housebound person, because they need a little extra attention. Someone who's in the hospital might need a visit or assistance and might reach out to a loved one. A mother who is ill might need some extra help in doing her housekeeping or taking care of her children. Someone with a sensory handicap might need some special attention, maybe a trip to a hearing aid specialist that a deacon accompanies them to. A widow with children, maybe she needs some help managing financially. A family threatened with bankruptcy, all these are in that manual. Someone out of work, someone whose paycheck might be suspended during this COVID time, might need extra food, and that's why we have these food drives and are taking care. And someone who is a new church member, brand new to the church and doesn't understand the deep connections that the family of faith have with one another. You see, the truth is, the Presbyterian Church recognizes that the pastor is not the only one who can visit the sick. Pastor's not the only one that can comfort the hurting. The pastor's not the only one who visits those who are lonely. But we, as the church body, embrace one another. And the deacons are the face of that for our church. And they're the example for us as we serve. So, give your deacon a call. A note of appreciation. Oh, they don't need it. They do it out of love. But certainly everyone loves to hear from one another. Amen?